You know, Craig was a bit, shall we say, nervous about sharing that one. And he'd let me see it previously. And I thought, you know, there's something in it that actually stirs your spirit. Because I was reminded of the words that people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue will be singing together in heaven. You know what? One day we might be standing next to that guy, Simon, I can't pronounce his second name, and just praising the Lord together. That we can sing together in different languages and still give God the honour and the praise. So it was different, but I enjoyed it. Thank you. This morning, we come to looking at prayer again through the teaching of Jesus to his disciples. And this next section is based on a prayer of submission. As I've mentioned previously, the Lord's Prayer has been repeated by millions of people down through the centuries, but it's often recited without considering the content. So you see, it's very easy for us to miss the depth of each phrase that Jesus included in this prayer, especially if you just recite it as one long sentence. You don't really consider what is actually being said. So our first reading this morning is Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 9 to 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Words that I'm sure that we are familiar with. But the section I want to focus on this morning is, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, many pray this without the faintest notion of what God's will is. And with that in mind, it really means it's being repeated by people who have no intention of seeing God's will being done. So how do we know God's will? Well, his revealed will is what he has made known to us in Scripture. For instance, we know it's God's will for us to love our neighbour, to watch the words of our tongue, to act justly towards each other and to show mercy. We also know that it's God's will not to murder, steal, cheat, lie, slander or boast. We know all of these things because it's in the Word of God. And we discover these things that God teaches us, what his will is, the way that he wants us to conduct ourselves. And I suppose the danger for each of us being prone to overlook God's revealed will, that is through his word, but we really only want to, are interested in his secret will, the things that are hidden. We want to know God's hidden will for the future. You know, whatever our day may hold, we can actually trust in God's goodness. Throughout the Bible, we see many instances that speak of God having a hidden or concealed things which humans do not have the capacity to comprehend. One of the first instances we see is the call of Abraham. The Bible tells us that he simply went not knowing where he was going. How do you feel about that, God seeking you? Go there, but I'm not telling you why. Just go. And he did. He obeyed without knowing where he was going. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." This indicates that Abraham had no roadmap. God did not provide him with a plan. His ways were kept secret from him. And in Genesis 12:1, in the call of Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Imagine having that call placed upon your life. Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, just go. Just trusting in God's will that this is the right thing to do. And you know also when Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the end time, he spoke of God's secret or hidden plan. In Matthew 24, verse 36, he says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." There are some things that God still keeps hidden from us. There are many aspects of life that God has told us nothing about. None of us know with certainty what will happen in the next hour, the next day, or the next week. All of these things have been held back from us. But you see, that's where our faith and our trust in God's will, starts to come in. But unfortunately, some people cannot cope with this. So they pursue fortune tellers, astrologers, mediums, or spiritualists because they want to know what lies ahead. They believe that getting a glimpse into the future will actually help direct them today. But we simply have to accept there are areas of God's will that remain secret or hidden until that time when he determines to make it known to us. In Romans 8, verse 28, it tells us that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. This means trusting God. When you're seeking him for something, perhaps a new job, maybe you want a virus-free world, maybe about moving house, praying for an ill friend. There are many areas in our lives that we will face, but we just don't know what his will is. But we trust him, that he only wants goodness and mercy to follow our lives. So we can trust God's will, even during trials. Sometimes we think that suffering can't possibly be the Lord's will. But we forget that our salvation was won when Jesus submitted himself completely to God's will in the moment of his greatest suffering. After living in perfect obedience to God's revealed will, Jesus, on the night before his crucifixion, he asked his Father three times if there was any other way for him to accomplish God's plan to save a people to himself. Everything hinged on how Jesus would respond to God's perfect will. So consider how Jesus practices what he preaches. Could there ever have been a more stressful, mind-crushing situation that we could ever imagine? Jesus, the Son of God, is being pushed to the limit. He's about to face betrayal by one of his own disciples. He will then be abandoned by his followers, and then face the battering and the excruciating death that lay before him. And you know, for Jesus, this was more than the fear of dying as he was about to bear the world's sin. That includes yours and mine. But he was also going to endure separation from his Father. This is suffering at a level that we simply cannot comprehend. And it's at a time like this that Jesus turned to prayer. Our second reading is Matthew 26, look at verse 36 to 39. Matthew 26, verses 36 to 39. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, he took them along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." The real challenging point is this. Jesus prays that the unimaginable suffering that he's about to face would be taken away. And then he says, not as I will, but as you will. This is a powerful act of submission. Jesus expresses his desire when he asked, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. He went through that same torment, that same struggle, the kind of things that we would understand, that we go through in life, but not to this extent. So he asked the Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. But then he says, but I want to submit to your will. I wonder, what are our prayers like? Do we find ourselves saying, Lord, why haven't you done what I asked yet? Where's the better job that I've asked for? Why is my family disjointed? Why can't you just save them all? And where is my ideal ministry position? It can be so easy to fall into this trap. Because as Christians, we want to pray like Jesus. And so we can pour out our hearts to God, just as he did. We can pray that a family member, a friend would be healed, or a job situation may even improve. But can we pray like Jesus? Not as I will, but as you will. You know, coming to grips with understanding that it's far better to have God's will than ours is a challenge, especially if you're facing a difficult time. There are many things that we'll never understand this side of heaven. But one day, all will be revealed and we'll understand. But there's just something in us that wants to know now. You know, just imagine if God actually did whatever we asked. Imagine who you might have married. Okay, I had to think about this. And I thought, well, if that was the case, for me, in primary school, I wanted to marry one of my teachers, Miss McDonald. She was lovely. Okay. But unfortunately, she met and she married a French man. And of course, to make matters worse, she went and moved her to France. I'm over it now. I did write to her once. It was last week. No, I'm kidding. And of course, growing up, when I realised that was hitting the head, it wasn't going to be Miss McDonald. When I was a teenager, I wanted to marry Olivia Newton-John. But of course, I soon got over her when I met Grace. You see, God's will is better than mine. So when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we acknowledge God's right to rule. So we don't pray, my will be done, as much as we would likely want things to run in accordance with our plans, and therefore it can be difficult to actually pray that. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Asking that God's will be done is a demonstration of our trust that he actually knows what's best. And there's everything in us that knows that. We know that God knows best, but there are still times where we struggle with that fact because, well, it's not quite happening the way I would like. And so having to trust in that aspect of God that he does know best can often be a real struggle for us. This battle of the wills is nothing new. Paul recognised this when he wrote his letter to the Romans in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's not just enough to know the will of God. We must also apply it to say, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. And it's not an easy thing to pray when you're going through a difficult time, to trust in him that the circumstances that we're facing, he's allowed. And many things we will never know or discover. But we have to learn to trust in him. So it's not enough just to know the will of God. It's applying it as well to say, Lord, your will be done. And the truth is that the cause of all the unrest, frustration, unhappiness, and even a sense of powerlessness in the life of a Christian can often be traced back to trying to follow our own self-will. If we trace it back, we'll find there's been a path we've chosen that wasn't the one that God would rather that we'd taken. I'm sure we're all aware that the pattern of this world is to put yourself, your family, your work, your finances, your social life, all these things before God. That's what the world would teach us, rather than the will of God to lead us. From there, we allow God to bless his plans and purpose for our lives, which, of course, that includes blessing our family, our work, our finances, and even your social life. But it also applies to any ministry that we're involved in. Whether it's something that you lead or whether it's something that you support, am I following the will of God or following my preferences? There's a real challenge within this. Because when you and I come to the realization that we've been desiring to follow our ways rather than God's, really it's a will that's saying no to God. We don't always think of it that way. I wonder how often I have said no to God because I've chosen to do things my way rather than his. So when we're in that situation, when we just don't know what to pray, remember the words of Jesus when he says, "This then is how you should pray." The word of God reveals to us his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. As we read it, study it on our own, on a Bible study group, hopefully through the message that we receive here each week, we will grow in our ability to know God's revealed will, what it is that he wants for us. Even when, like Abraham, we may not know where we're headed, but the Word of God gives enough direction and advice to understand how he desires us to live. You know, Jesus also told his disciples to let their words be few. Prayer involves listening as well as speaking. In the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, it was the priest Eli was speaking to Samuel when he said that when you hear God's voice, respond by saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Take that time to listen. And yet, we find that in our impatient society, it's often the reverse that happens. Listen, Lord, because your servant's speaking. We may not use those words, but often that's the way we conduct ourselves. Thankfully, we can pour our hearts out about the situations that we face. Whether it's at work, at home, even in church. Pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Excuse me. Because after that, we rest in the confidence that we discover within his word that he will do what is best. That is a challenge to trust in God, to have faith in him, and to follow after him in the different things that we face in life. Trust that God will do what is best as we lean on him. So, seek to know God's revealed will. That information that he gives to us through the scriptures. The word of God that we hopefully take the time to study, read and learn from. It's full of guidance. It's full of information that helps us understand how we should live. The kind of conduct that God expects from us. What it is that he will use in order to put the message across to other people about the love of God. So be diligent on obeying it. Love your neighbour. Be generous with your resources. And worship the Lord our God. and worship the Lord our God. Trust in him that he is working all things together for our good. Remember the things that are presently hidden will one day be revealed in glory. And you're going to get there and you're going to go, oh, now I see. If only I'd known that 30 years ago. There are some people carry things with them for years and years and years. And perhaps even this morning, God's saying, let it go. Let my will be done in your life. Let me lead you. Let me guide you to a place of peace, or comfort, or strength, or boldness. Whatever it is that you require of him, let his will be done in our lives. You know, it brings you to a place, hopefully, where you can just thank God that everything he wants for us is the best. He wants no bad, no harm to come to us. He wants to protect us. He wants to guide us. But there are times when I have stepped outside his will. Perhaps you have as well. And in that place, you then discover things aren't quite the way you thought or hoped they would be. Let's get back to that place where we can see, Lord, your will be done. I don't understand, Lord, why this is happening, why this is going on, but I want to trust in you today that your will be done in my life and in our life. Amen. 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 I'm going to invite Craig and Liz to come up and lead us in our closing worship. Thank you.
Let's just stand and continue in worship.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunders, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then. Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Great and mighty, awesome, wonderful. You conquer all. God our Father, God omnipotent, you reign on high, great and mighty, awesome, wonderful, you conquer all.
Hopefully every one of you believes that God loves you. And if that's true, then he's not going to do something that's not very good. You might not be able to see the end, and you're in the middle of it, and you're not quite sure where you're going. But what God says is, trust me. So let's do that this week. Let's trust him and allow him to speak to us. That requires that we give him time to speak to us. We just shut up and listen. Do that this week. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your interest in each of us.